Hey, just want to take a quick break from this episode so I could tell you guys about how I just launched my new Patreon page. If you don't know about Patreon, it's a great way for people to support creators with a monthly subscription. Becoming a Patreon supporter can even come with a few perks, like early access to new episodes and getting special shoutouts on the podcast. I've recently started working part-time at my job so I can focus more time and energy on the podcast and YouTube channel. So any support would be massively appreciated, and it helps me towards my hope of making this my full-time job someday. So if you want to help support me in that, please head over to patreon.com/hooptheory. That's Patreon, patreon.com/hooptheory. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome to the Luka Doncic episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 77, which is in honor of him being the greatest player ever to wear the jersey number 77. My name is Logan Wertman, recording this one on the afternoon of Wednesday, March 20th. And as usual, I'm joined by my polite co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Luka Doncic episode?
Feels pretty good. I was wondering who it was going to be because we've had, a borderline hiatus. We've been MIA, not in content being pumped out, but in terms of recording, We've been dang near a month. Just took a little bit of a break plus an extra day because of the leap day, and excited to be back. It'll be good. Honestly, when you said it was Wednesday, the first thing I thought of was it's Wednesday, my dudes. And then
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
It's a great video. Give it a goog if you are one of the youths that did not remember the Vine days. It's a dude wearing sun tanning glasses in a Spider-Man costume, and he's looking at it. It explains itself. It's pretty good. Just, it's Wednesday, my dudes. It should come up.
Yeah. Honestly, this couldn't have come at a worse time for me, though, for the Luka Doncic episode, because we just lost to the Mavs recently, which is one of the few games that the Nuggets have lost since we recorded last. That game was not fun at all. It's one of those games that I just feel like people have cracked, not necessarily cracked the code, but like if I was going against the Nuggets, my number one priority, or like what I would be my number one plan, would be to like just cause chaos and play very physically with Nikola Jokic, and just like get, because if you play very physically, there's just going to be a lot of plays where you get away with doing some stuff, and that just makes Jokic angry. And the more angry Jokic gets with not getting calls, the more he tries to just keep drawing and drawing them, and less the refs even want to call him, and it just gets worse and worse. So yeah, that's kind of the story of that game, honestly. Jokic not having a great shooting night, and then Luka having a really good shooting night. And then Kyrie being ridiculous, especially
just doing Kyrie things.
Yeah.
There was one shot. You could have told me Kyrie sat the bench for 47 minutes, but I was like, he did have that one shot, though. That was pretty miraculous.
Yeah. I don't remember what his, I feel like he was just kind of had a great game overall. I don't feel like he had 40, but I don't know why that's coming to my mind. He only had 24. He played 40 minutes. Maybe that's why I was thinking 40.
You were just looking at the box score, just sulking. No, but this shot was miraculous. He's like coming across right to left, and like
it's like this weird hook floater with his left hand.
But it's like he was trying to like finger roll it off the glass, but he was at the free throw line, and it was like a scoop under. He like rocked the baby and finger rolled. It's such a
wild shot to choose for the last shot.
But you could have like like put it in a computer software and made them all like dummies and removed all the physical traits, and I would have guessed that's something that only Kyrie Irving could do.
Yeah.
That thing right there is just why Kyrie's in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Honestly, Kyrie might be him. What's weird is they have both these players, two of like the best players in the world at just final 3 seconds of a game tied, you know? Like the best guys to have. Kyrie's like a contender for sure to be that one guy.
Well, no, and I think in his career, I mean, now Kyrie's been in like kind of a weird, but he's just that guy all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tough shot maker. Really comes in handy.
And it was on Jokic. Oof, I had to watch it. It's just wild. Mm-hmm. It's just wild.
Yeah. Very disappointing. I thought we were winning that one, to be honest. But
that was weird how the entire bench jumped on him like it was a Sweet 16 upset.
Yeah, the way Luka reacted especially was like, even he was like, that was ridiculous.
Well, maybe part of it was the because of who it was, obviously. Like the Nug, like if they did that to like if they needed that to beat the Pistons, I don't think you dogpile on Kyrie.
Yeah.
But the like obviously you still get hyped, you win an NBA game, but the it was just weird. It was just wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But I guess the Celtics also have been on, I feel like they've been on a tear this entire season. So right now they're not necessarily on a tear, like in comparison. But,
well, if you watch ESPN and don't watch the NBA, you think the Celtics suck. Because the Celtics lost. It's okay. I'm not, like, making excuses. The Celtics were up by 20 in the fourth quarter. They sent out the hospital Celtics, benched almost everybody. And then Dean Wade popped off. Shout out to Dean Wade. Guess what? Hasn't done it again. To no one's surprise, he has not had... I think I saw something. It was in the seven games around that Celtics game was equivalent to the points he had in that fourth quarter.
Total?
He was total.
That's
he was
crazy.
Five for... No, it was some obscene stat like that.
Yeah.
It was revolting.
No, I believe
anyway,
it, but that's just wild to think about.
But no, so the Cavs got the best of the Celtics to end the 11-game win streak. I'd like to throw it out there. They were on an 11-game win streak. They blew the Mavericks out of the water in the middle of this 11-game win streak. They had also like played a couple decent teams. I believe beat the Bucks in this win streak. It's not like it was like we're going to the NBA Central and having our way with everyone that's not the Bucks. It was like a legitimate kind of sort of like thing. Mm-hmm. NBA Central, geez Louise.
Central Division, is that what you meant?
The Central Division.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why my brain was doing that. Anyway, but regardless. They lose, then they lose to the Nuggets by 1 point. The Jason Tatum takes a shot, doesn't go in. Good game. If you are not a big basketball person, this randomly lands on your TikTok feed for whatever reason. This probably won't be a clip. YouTube, whatever, if you're listening. If you want to try to get into NBA basketball, watch this Celtics-Nuggets series that appears like it's going to happen in the finals. Because this is going to be, I wish it was going to be seven games. It'll be like six games of art. Of just pure beauty. Of just rock. It's going to be great. It's going to be so pure. The two appetizers of Bucks, not Bucks, of Nuggets, Celtics that I've gotten this regular season makes me want playoff steaks on the line for like a nice sauce to make it all that much sweeter. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
Yep. I agree. For just basketball as a whole, like,
it just happens that I like the Celtics.
The best series we can really think about, honestly. It's best series imaginable right now.
We are being robbed if that does not end up being the finals.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics looking, this crew's looking to get their first. Nuggets looking to like really get the dynasty talk rolling. It like there'll be stakes behind it. There'll be all time significance behind it. It's just going to be effing awesome.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. So was that Celtics Nuggets game? Was that after the Cavs one?
It was the game after the Cavs game.
So that
because
was
the Nuggets had just lost. No, this was in...
You're talking about just the one, like, early this
February
month?
February or March. Yeah, March.
Oh, I think you're mixing up which game that was, though. The one in this month was, like, a six-point game.
Am I flipping the two?
Yeah, the other one was the two-point game, which happened January 19th.
I did mix the two up. Sorry, everyone.
And
anyway,
I think we were at home the second one. So you were thinking, like, in Boston.
I was double-flipped.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Anyway... I was wrong, but
just making sure. But yeah, the Celtics and the Nuggets game. You guys lost two in a row for the first time since November 6th and 8th. It was the last time you had lost two games in a row,
yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And then you were able to avoid the three in a row by beating the Suns a couple nights after that, which also another big thing that happened since the last time we spoke that happened around the same time as that was that Anthony Edwards block. The game winner block where he like hit his head on the rim, the back of his head, like hard, like his head was still going up as it like hit the rim, which is just insane. I feel like he did kind of use, I believe that was Jaden McDaniels. If it wasn't Jaden McDaniels, it was Nikhil Alexander Walker. I think, but he used whoever his teammate that was beneath him. He kind of like pushed off of his shoulder while that guy was also in the air to make it look like a double jump. But it was wild. And Anthony Edwards, I just feel like he's had some of the best in-game dunks of all time already. And he added another one that's like, you could argue is like a top five dunk of all time.
Because it's more just everything about it. Like the setup, the timing, the everyone reaction, the jersey he's wearing, and then just how aggressively he just murders both the rim and the unfortunate man on the bottom of the poster, mm-hmm. often forgotten since he's left Atlanta, John Collins.
Yeah. And then John Collins was like, he was like just concussed. Ruined. Yeah.
No, physically got concussed.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
It was just ridiculous how he was collapsed on the floor. You couldn't really tell if something was like physically wrong with him or if he was just like, you know, just shaken up by what just happened at first. And then Anthony Edwards immediately is just like looking at his hand because he dislocated his finger on the rim. And then he goes, which it was an and one also. So he had to shoot his free throw. So in between the dunk and the free throw, he went back to the locker room or near the locker room, I think. And they put his finger back in place. They popped it back into place and then taped it up so he could shoot the free throw. But yeah, just dunking on somebody so hard you dislocate your finger is just a wild thing.
And what's even crazier is, like, I honestly want to give my flowers to a blanked on his name. Don't tell me. Come on. Hawks. Jalen Johnson, who also had an absolutely insane poster the same night and would have been in like the dunk of the year type of conversation. But it just happened to happen on the same night that Anthony Edwards lit the NBA dunking everything on
fire.
And
that Aaron Gordon one happened in the Celtics game. Like, they were all in the same couple day, like, couple night span. Or a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was mixed up with...
Because the Gordon one was crazy. Yeah. The Gordon one was wild.
He caught it, like, he caught it below the net. Like, and just, like, I don't even know how to describe that, but... just flipped it up and yammed it.
Yammed is a good terminology for that. It was filth. Filth. We've missed a lot of basketball, so I'm sure there's like cool things that we're forgetting. Like scary things, like Şengün.
Yeah, for sure.
That was scary. That injury. Had to get... but it seems like he's out of the boot already, which is good. Signs.
Yeah.
It just seems like it was a aggressively bad rolling of the ankle, as opposed to what some people thought of like, ligaments getting all messed up, and it does not appear like it was that bad like it might have looked, because like it was tough.
Yeah, it was a weird rare combo of just completely destroying, you know, at least appearing to destroy the ankle, and then also hyperextend his knee at the same time.
So yeah, his knee like did like kind of like a zag.
Uh-huh.
It was
and like a lightning bolt sideways. Yeah, it was I hate watching stuff like that.
I'm glad that he seems okay-ish.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And also, the broadcast on that was... I've never seen something like that where they... Somebody... I'm guessing it was a player or somebody who was mic'd up that just so happened to be right up next to him when he was, like, yelling at the trainer. Like, it's my leg. It's my effing leg, bro. Like, he was... like, you could hear his voice the entire time while he's laying on the ground. It was very unique for that kind of situation, for the viewing experience.
It was unsettling a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was, we've missed a lot of stuff. Glad to be back. I'm trying to think if I've missed any other big things. I don't want to get too angry about the Celtics because I got a whole lot of anger stored in me for, I don't know what I'll use it on. Maybe I shouldn't use it.
Maybe you shouldn't use it.
Yeah. Well, for those that don't, I'm a Nebraska fan of everything, and... I don't like bandwagon people, and Nebraska men's basketball has a certain player by the name of Keisei Tominaga that like everyone is like falling in love with, rightfully so. I've loved this man for 3 years, so quit like acting like you know everything. Everyone's like, this man can't miss. I'm like, no, he does miss a lot. He airballs basketballs a lot. It's just the ones that go in don't make sense. They shouldn't go in. That's what's so magical about him. Because he'll have one game where he's got 40 points and he's on top of the Big Ten. And then the next game, you're like, maybe we should bench him for Sam Hoiberg.
Yeah.
It does that really feel not, like yeah,
it's kind of a trick or treat, to borrow. I think it's like a Bill Simmons phrase, but it's
and
like.
And I hope that we have a treat on Friday.
Yeah.
As Nebraska's taking on Texas A&M, looking for their first. Yeah, for all you people that don't pay attention, but kind of like March Madness, Nebraska has never won a game in March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
They've never won a tournament game. They're the only Power 5 school ever to not do this. They yeah. went there a bunch of times with a longtime coach. His name was Danny Nee, but they were a 3 seed and they choked to the 14 seed Xavier Musketeers. And then they lost to like Western Kentucky in the 80s. And then
we the list goes Baylor on. Baylor in 2012.
Lost to UConn in 2014. Like at 2014.
We played Baylor too, though, didn't we?
We lost to Baylor in 2014. UConn we lost to in like 1991 or 1992.
Oh, okay.
Baylor was in 2014. You yeah. said 2012, so I said the year.
Oh, and then,
but it doesn't okay, matter.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because it was Isaiah Austin,
Austin, the Royce O'Neal, Taurean Prince, I believe, yeah. was also there. Maybe that was yeah. right before he got there. But yeah, it was a good
Very
Baylor
sad.
Team.
The neon green Baylor squad. Yeah. And we trotted out, oh no. This is borderline sacrilege for me to forget this man's name. Teron Petaway. I knew I'd get there.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I Raptors. That. Was a Raptor for a little bit.
Was he really? Mm-hmm. Teron Petaway.
Might have been like a 905 Raptor, but he was a Raptor.
Yeah. That was right like in the dead spot of when I was not paying attention to the NBA, probably. So definitely could have been there.
But yeah, anyway, that was a little rabbit hole. Fill out your brackets. We should have done a bracket challenge. It's too late. It's fine.
Yeah. As in, like, got fans in on it? Like, got the...
Yeah, that would have been sick.
Yeah.
We should we'll do that next year.
Yeah, for sure. And we could do something with the playoffs this year for the NBA playoffs.
That's true. And speaking of, like, doing things with fan people, we are rapidly approaching 5,000 followers on TikTok. Reminders. We're going to give away a jersey. You cannot get a Miles Bridges jersey. And if you want a Draymond Green jersey, it has to be the smallest size I can get. what's the other? Oh, and TikTok, if it ceases to exist,
mm-hmm.
we will do the giveaway. It'll just move to a different platform. So
oh, true. Yeah.
If you're invested, want your TikTok, you listen to the podcast and TikTok, head on over to YouTube or head on over to somewhere and hit the subscribe button and keep updates, because we will still do the jersey giveaway even if the U.S. government takes down good old TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just have to do it somewhere else. But yeah, whatever that becomes, whatever becomes the replacement of TikTok, if it does indeed get shut down again, like I don't really know when that's supposed to happen or if I don't really know. I don't like understand a lot. I feel like that's kind of my viewpoint in life currently, is that every single issue there's people on both sides with major, like, strong opinions of saying, like, these are all the facts and these are all the, you know, and the other side has directly, like, contradicting facts. And I'm like, okay, what are facts at this point, you know?
We can break down some, I believe it's the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. We can break it down later. The PAPACA.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. But yeah, I guess we can jump on. Actually, before we jump into what we're going to jump into today, I also wanted to touch on something from last episode, which I'm very confused about at the moment. I don't know why I thought this, but when we just made like a kind of a passing joke about how I don't pay attention to hockey, you said something about how I like have a Avs tattoo on my back or something. And I said something about how I couldn't even name like a single player on the Avs a few episodes ago, other than Alexander Georgiev. And then I said Connor McDavid, who I also said in the other episode, which I don't know why I thought that name was a player on the Avs. He never has played for the Avs.
Who's the Mick on the Avs, though? There's for sure a Mick on the Avs.
Yeah.
I thought you were right. McDavid's an Oiler then.
Maybe. Let me check that. I was thinking Minnesota, but I think you're actually right. I think he is a Connor McDavid, but it's Jeremy McKinnon, I think, or not.
McKinnon.
It's not Jeremy. Let me look at this really quick. Connor McDavid, yeah, he plays for the Oilers, always has. Maybe it's Nathan
McKinnon. Nathan McKinnon. Yeah. It's Nathan McKinnon. Okay. I knew there was a Mick or a Mac or something. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't think about it.
Okay.
I'm also not as hockey as I should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I genuinely enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great little USHL, like, feeder hockey league in Kearney.
Oh, really?
The Tri-City Storm. And they're like, there's like a couple dudes that are in the NHL that played for the Tri-City Storm. The games are super fun.
I had no idea. There's more than one in Nebraska.
Next time you voyage west, there's mm-hmm. three. There's the Omaha Lancers, Lincoln Stars, and the Tri-City Storm.
Wow.
Anyway, but next time you venture westbound,
mm-hmm.
we'll have to go to a Storm game.
Yeah.
Clark Cup champions a couple, I think last year.
Clark Cup?
Clark Cup is the regular season title. Anderson Cup is the postseason title. I might have those flipped.
But for anyway, this specific league?
The USHL.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Interesting. Well, I guess going back to basketball, and, well, I guess touching on something before I even go back to that, because I'm thinking about it. If you're watching on video, you might notice that my eyes are, like, betraying me, and almost they look like they're falling out. It's just my allergies acting up. But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there as a disclosure. I am okay. I am just... my eyes have been watering for like a week straight. So that's the irritation you see here. But moving on to the thing that we wanted to spend the most time on today, which is young player stock reports, which I don't know if that's like a very apt name for the segment, because I think we might kind of just zero in on a specific draft class and talk about that.
Yeah.
And that is the 2021 NBA draft, just because I feel like there's a lot of guys from that draft that have some interesting storylines, updates to kind of like check in on with how they've been going so far.
And I think that the other thing that's very interesting is there's like, I feel like they've been cooking long enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be year three for
these
guys. They're in three. They're mm-hmm. cooking through three. Like it's early enough that I'm confident, or late enough, I should say, that I'm confident in like, kind of pushing forward my opinion of like, I think this is what this guy just is.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like in year one, you're like, okay, they're rookie, they're figuring everything out. Year two, there's always those guys that jump a ton or those guys that take a step back. But then once you get into year three, you kind of see the trajectory of if they did take a step back, are they kind of crawling back up? Or if they took this giant leap forward, did they fall off a cliff in year three and it was just a fluke? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's good. Three years is kind of a good amount to like start really making calls on how you feel about people.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess we can start off with the most enticing or the most important question of all, which is, would, like, looking back, did the right guy go number one? Like, if we had a redraft of this draft class, would Cade Cunningham still be the number one overall pick?
No.
I think that's very
fair. And I want to say hard no. He's just very injured thus far. The same way that, like, I feel like Embiid, now that you know what he's turned into, you'd be like, yeah, that dude's the first overall pick
mm-hmm.
in that draft. But if you go and look at, like, where Embiid was at year three, you'd be like, we have seen 14 games. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it his first two entire seasons were just not played?
He didn't play at all. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that while the jury could still, Cade Cunningham might end up being the best player, I think he was the not right pick for number one at this point in time, because you've got an all-star, you've got a fringe all-star.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at the top, like, four. I didn't even go down that much further. And there's guys that have contributed to, like, playoff teams, or in important parts of playoff teams, that were taken later. So we could dive into it more. How do you feel, Logan? Because you're more of a Cunningham guy than I am myself.
Yeah, I feel like he could still be, like, if we redrafted and somebody still took him number one, I don't think that would be like a crime. But I definitely feel like it wouldn't be the most popular pick at number one. I feel like that...
it wouldn't be the consensus, You take Cunningham and let the dominoes fall after, like it was on draft night in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also kind of feel like there's not really somebody that's like a bona fide, you know, top five player in the league, like type of talent. Like there's some people that could get there, but there's nobody that's like, they're probably going to get there. You know, everybody's kind of like that. That's on the upside for them. Not really.
This draft has a ton of, I feel like, contributors to like second options on a championship team,
mm-hmm.
but nobody feels like the big dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But and Scotty Barnes might be the most close to that.
Yes. And I think even then, but like, I don't think in today's NBA, Scotty Barnes could be your best, your number one option. You could have everyone on your team be Scotty Barnes minus a quarter step. So like you just have that many good players. And if he's your first option, I still don't think you could win
a title
in the play, like a title. I don't think you could do it. He's not that level of guy. But if you have a, just going down the list of top guys, if you have a Giannis or a Jokic or a Tatum or a Curry or a, I'm missing a bunch of Shea or an Ant,
mm-hmm.
them as your first, and then Scotty Barnes is your second guy, you feel pretty dang good.
Yeah.
But he just can't be, I don't think, your guy right now, and I don't think he'll get there either. I just don't think the way that he plays is suited to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But maybe I'll be goofy, and a lot of people didn't think the way that Jokic played, he could be the engine that wins you a title.
Yeah.
And now everyone's trying to play copycat.
I mean, people, that was still a narrative a year before the Nuggets won the title. Yeah. So that's, yeah, it's kind of hard to grasp. There's people that have narratives all over the place on certain guys. But Scotty Barnes is definitely a guy that, yeah, I feel like he's more of a connective, you know, team winning play type of guy more so than he is like that stereotypical traditional number one option of an offense. Although he's every single, like several months, basically, I was going to say season, but really it's kind of been every single half season so far, he's taken like another leap in that department.
Cause I think he's had to, and I think that, mm-hmm. Like Nick Nurse obviously was his coach and now he's not, but the growth still seems to be going in a proper direction.
Yeah, for sure.
For him, at least.
He's been, I feel like, the one that's, out of all like the main guys from this draft, he's the one that's like, his arrow is still pointing up this year. Like, we were expecting Evan Mobley to come out and have a really good third season after having a sophomore slump, and now he's kind of having a third-year slump a little bit, where he's better than he, I'll say it like this, like he's better than he was when he first came in, like for sure. He's improved at least somewhat, but he's vastly underperformed the trajectory that people were anticipating for him.
Well, wait, if you look at his first year, you're like, this dude's going to be Dwight Howard, prime Dwight Howard in like 3 years. He's going to just do whatever he wants defensively, and he's just going to be a more useful offensive. He's not just a rim runner, Dwight Howard. Like,
yeah,
he was going to be a peak like of
KG
powers
type of
MVP candidate type of guy.
Yeah.
And he's not that. Some could argue he's like the second best big, depending on the night, on his team.
Yeah.
It's not disrespecting Jared Allen, but like, it just really is night dependent for him. And I don't know what it is, if it's because of the Cavs, how they are running things. They're obviously a very, like, we've got great guards. Bigs just kind of do good.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but
I think with the way they're built, like, the way they're built in the modern NBA requires Evan Mobley to be able to shoot, and he just hasn't been able to yet.
He hasn't been able to click that that notch over.
So.
So I guess this is an interesting way we could look at it. You have the first overall pick in the draft. Is it right, like, for what they are right now, is it Barnes, one?
Yeah. But I guess if I had the pick, I might still go with Mobley and just think of him in a different, I'm not even kidding, like, go in a different context, the way he can be, because I really do feel like the major limitation that we see from him is on the offensive side of the ball. If it was just defensive, like, there's no question.
He's
not struggled on that end. Offensively, he can make the right play. He's smart. He's got a good feel for the game. But he's just, he doesn't have a very wide variety of scoring moves. He's got a little bit of a post game, but he's just not thick enough to like actually, you know, impose his will in that sort of way. And then the jump shot is just like outside of the free throw arc, you know, like outside of 15 feet, basically, it's just not that reliable. Some have compared it to the Ben Simmons trajectory, which I just, you know, say,
I think that's dramatic.
Get behind me, Satan, you know, when I hear those. But just because I am a big Mobley guy, and I do see the potential that he still has. And I feel like if he went into a different situation where he's not sharing the front court with another non-shooter, obviously that would be a lot more ideal of a fit than what he currently has. Like if he was with like Brook Lopez, another guy who can play center, but spaces the floor on the offensive end, a great.
Where he can be the one that doesn't have to space the floor.
Exactly.
Where he can be the one in of the four out.
He can be what Aaron Gordon is on the Nuggets offense. The one.
If he's in a different system.
Mm-hmm.
And then just again, I don't know why, adding to the, I don't like Donovan Mitchell as much. Just adding to that narrative in my brain. Of Donovan Mitchell's the reason that Mobley can't thrive. It's all Donovan. It's not. But yeah. Just adding to that narrative in my brain. And I have no idea why. I can't. I've like really sat off pod and tried to think, like, why do I just see Donovan Mitchell and be like, I can't figure it out. I just can't do it.
I get that.
Like, I feel like everybody's got players like that where like everyone's like, no, this dude's good. And you know it, but you're just like, I don't know. He's just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But for every like one of those I have the player that I way overvalue. Like Derek White, who I would mouth kiss after watching what I just watched on my screen to my left because the Celtics are playing the Bucks right now.
Oh, okay.
And it's Derek White is just a saucy boy.
Yeah, I saw he had a triple-double the other night.
He's just so great.
Yeah.
I just love everything about this man.
Yeah. But
we're going to take a quick break before we jump more into the meat because I'm being requisitioned for bedtime.
Same here. So that's very good timing. Not for the same reason, but. Yeah, but that was impeccable timing. I was literally just about to make noise to begin my sentence when you said that. And I was like, oh. At first I thought you were just a mind reader and you could tell what I was trying to do.
Well, no, I saw homie poke his head up, or Tilly, I think, Luca.
Uh-huh.
I saw Tilly go like, and then I also had my equivalent of Tilly.
Yeah.
Right, like, you can't see her, but she was like right here, like looking up at me.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure when you do the editing, you'll see me like look down a couple times.
Yeah.
Man, feels good. I guess it's only up 19, but beating the second best team in your conference by, what's probably going to end up being around 20 points feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, in control the whole game, never really worried. Bucks didn't have a lead outside of, like, 8-7 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't need to keep gushing. Oh, Derek White's going to fight Bobby Portis. Oh, dang it, he isn't. He was just talking the whole way down the court, being like, you know that was dirty. You know that was dirty. No, he was talking to Pat Bev.
I love that Bobby Portis and Pat Bev are on the same team now.
It's just this, like, not big brother, little brother, but just, like, I want Pat Bev to be a Celtic so bad. Because now that I've, like, ascended to the next level of basketball, like, awareness.
Yeah.
Pat Bev is just a better version of Marcus Smart. Because he, not at basketball, but at the instigating thing. You know what I mean? At, like, the, like, poking the bear.
Oh, at just that? Yeah.
No, not as a basketball player. I will never disrespect Marcus Smart like that. But
yeah.
Also, I didn't get the whole wanting guys to get rings thing. If we win this year, it'll bump me out
exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, it'll get me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we are way better because when a team runs like zone on us, we don't turn into a middle school team like we did when Marcus Smart was our point guard. But
because he just didn't know how to break the zone.
He just did everything so right. I just feel like his basketball IQ, when it came to being the offensive driver, was not his strength, and that's fine.
Yeah,
I don't know if in the heat of the moment, That doesn't mean anything. But obviously has a like a big basketball IQ because that's how like his defense worked, was like knowing and reading and doing. But just when he was the one driving the ship, it just didn't work. No way. Okay, the referees are trying to make the Bucks get into this game. That's revolting. You're not. Wow, I don't know why that song just came in my head. You're not alone by Seosin.
Yeah.
There is more to this, I know. Yeah, they just got that vibe that,
like, yeah.
I had a great day today, but I'm mad because I had to ride the bus to school. Like that feeling. Anyway,
that's funny. Yeah.
Also, do you ever have this moment? This is unrelated. You have the same music, kind of like, just it's like a giant part of your day.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever hear a song and you're like, this might be the best song I've ever heard? Even though you've heard it before, it just hits.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 3 days ago, I was convinced. I was like, is Bob Seger the greatest artist of all time? Is Hollywood Nights the best music that's ever been made? Because I was just driving to work, and then the little bass line, in the Hollywood Nights. And I was like, this is it. This is peak music. And then I came to my senses like 2 hours later, but I was like, not that it's a bad song. It's not the best song of all time.
Yeah. I've had a lot of those, though, where I'm like, this might be the best song of all time.
And then you listen to it, like, 24 hours, you're like, that was just... But music sometimes just hits you at the right time. Like, I was having a good morning, I was cruising down the interstate, and then just the song just hit, and I'm like, this is it!
And it depends sometimes on what you're listening it through, like, on, like, what speakers you're using. Oh, yeah!
If it's in your ears, or if it's like the whole atmosphere is getting filled up, like in a car.
Yeah, like sometimes I just never the even mix, thought of that. The mix can be different. Where like if I'm listening to somebody in the car versus these headphones, you can hear like things in these headphones that you just wouldn't hear in the car.
Like Eye to Eye from the Goofy movie is not very good in the car, but if you put it in your ears, it feels different.
I listened to that on these headphones shortly after that phone call. Yeah.
It's not like a good song. It's just like, why was this in the Goofy movie?
I don't remember who it's by. Who is it by?
I want to say Tevin Coleman, but I think that's a...
Oh, is it somebody like I wouldn't even know?
Oh, no, it's a very obscure...
Yeah. So I, but yeah.
Tevin Campbell. Wow. That was a... Tevin Campbell. It's not Tevin Coleman. Tevin Campbell.
Man, that was close.
Is Tevin Coleman a human? To no one's surprise, it is a football running back. Indiana. He went to Indiana. Big Ten. Anyway, dude, this dude had a... He had a 2,000-yard rushing season? I'm flabbergasted. Anyway, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to jump back into it. Right. And we're back.
Okay, I thought you were doing...
Oh, yeah, and we're back! We were talking about the... We're breaking down the 2021 draft class. We kind of had an abrupt stop. My little gremlin, my daughter, was like, I need to go to bed. Whatever. And so we did bedtime. Logan also had other matters to attend to. So we are now back. We talked about a quick recap. I guess these people don't need a recap. It's been seconds for them. It's been minutes for us, but it's been seconds for them.
Mm-hmm.
Cade Cunningham, probably not the consensus number one overall pick if you like could redo it today.
Mm-hmm.
Probably still a very high pick, but not necessarily like taking this guy one, no question. The closest thing to that is probably Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley's in that conversation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there. But my favorite part of this draft is, like, lower in the draft, there's just a lot of people that are, like, they're good contributors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
honestly, just like Upper and Shangoon.
Is a top five in the draft for sure.
That's what I was about to ask. Could he be a contender for the number one overall pick?
I don't know if I'm going to go number one bold, but I will say that he would have been the first pick of the Rockets because the Rockets had the second pick. Like if the teams were the same, I think the Rockets are happier with Şengün at two and knowing they have that locked down. But without him the past 10, 14, 10, 15, whatever, how many days it's been since he got hurt, Jalen Green has stepped up. I will give that man, here's your bouquet of flowers, sir.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Green,
kudos to you, because he's stepped up, and it's been more than just like the I am a walking bucket, fear me. It's been like, actually, I am a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stepping up for my team. And it's been quite nice to see, because you never want people to be bad unless they're on your like least favorite team. Like Tyrese Maxey could have sucked and it would have made me happy, but he's really good at basketball.
Yeah. No, I get that. But honestly, Scottie Barnes versus Alperen Şengün to me feels like there's not a clear answer to me personally. Like Alperen Şengün is like literally like he's earned the Baby Jokic nickname. Like he is literally yes. Baby Jokic.
Yes.
The best player he's on just, the planet.
The one thing he doesn't have is and I sent you a TikTok of this. He doesn't have the Sombor like shuffle fling. He doesn't quite have that level of which I think is the most underappreciated part of Jokic's game.
Uh-huh.
The like clock's running out, they fling it to Jokic in a bad look. It's a 50-50 if it's going in or not.
Uh-huh. He does have the man, I can't remember his hometown's name now, but it's like the gallop. Turkey. It starts with a G. It's like northern Turkey. It's on the Black Sea, on the coast.
Gazanap. Yep. G A Z I A N T E P. Gazantep. I don't speak other languages.
Yeah, I don't feel like
that's... I can say Ankara.
Ankara.
Yeah.
They've
the
got
capital.
A town called Van.
Van.
They've got Istanbul.
Istanbul, yeah.
Samsun.
There's a lot of ones I can say. Gaziantep.
I think you're looking at a different thing. Giresun is his.
Oh no, hometown. I didn't. I just looked up towns in Turkey. I didn't look up his hometown.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say
I did that backwards in hindsight. I just assumed there couldn't be that many giant towns in Turkey that starts with a G.
Well, I don't know if it's that giant. I think it's a fairly modest. Yeah, it's a little over 100K population.
Oh yeah, so it did not pop up on this list of giant Turkey cities.
Yeah. So, but that's funny because I was like, when you kept trying to say it, I was like, I know it starts with a G, but that does not even like ring a bell at all, like what you're saying.
Gearson.
Yeah, Gearson Gallup, something. I think is how I heard somebody say it before, where he has this thing where he like just puts one leg up, so he's just standing on one leg and does this like weird standing floater. Thing.
No, it's like Dirk with less movement, if that's possible.
Yeah. He just like props up his leg and is like doing the standing floater thing, which I actually really relate to because when I play basketball, for some reason, I always want to make everything a floater. And I just feel like I can make, like from the 3-point line, I feel like just shooting around, just messing around, I can almost make like a floater from 3-point range as well as my just straight up catch and shoot 3-point shot. For some reason, I don't know why other people don't like use that floater from like the short mid range more often as just like a go-to, you know. But Alpi is one of those guys where it just feels like he is also very locked in on that motion. And so that's just fun to root for, honestly. But yeah, also he just uncorks some of the just most maddening passes you'll see from any position, honestly. It's not just the big guys. So he's definitely
top 10 passer for sure. Maybe yeah. Probably higher. Like if you were to build like a quick top five and you threw him in there at like five, you wouldn't be like, what? That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah, he's probably, I think he's might be not even might, I don't know. That might be a little bit disrespectful to Sabonis. But those three are the best three big man passers in the world right now, for sure. And three of the best of all time. Definitely up there.
Well, because it's like a new skill set that's kind of came onto the scene recently.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I guess Alpi, though, is somebody that we could see, I could see at least, be the number one pick in this draft if it were to be redone. Josh Giddey, I feel like we can bring him up as kind of like with the Evan Mobley thing, is kind of fallen a little bit in his third season.
The Giddey one, I'm more, I don't say conflicted about, but Giddey went from the second option, and then this year it felt like he was going to be, no matter what he did, Jalen Williams was going to be two.
Uh-huh.
And then the giant variable of Abe Lincoln reincarnated and Chet Holmgren that one was like, where does he fit in? And I just feel like the worst possible scenario for Giddey happened where he just became the fourth option.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a hard four. Not a question, not a, they rotate around. The only rotating around that happens is 2 and 3 swapping between Chet and Jalen Williams, as opposed to Giddey being in that mix sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, if Giddy's having, like, a hot game or a hot quarter, that happens. But, like, I think that I feel more confident that his is a usage in, like, what his team does, as exactly. opposed to he's if he was actively in a different playing situation. Worse.
Mm-hmm.
Where Mobley, like, he's just shooting worse. I also think that he would benefit in a situation where he wasn't asked to shoot.
Yeah.
But I feel like Mobley feels more, it's his fault he's worse, air quotes on fault, and Giddey feels more like the situation's fault, if that makes sense.
To me, I feel like they're both in the just like it's
more
a bad
situation.
Fit. Yeah. But Giddey, I would agree, probably even more so, just because the decline, like we saw Evan Mobley performing well in this same setting to start his career. But the thing is, it's a optical illusion, I feel like, in our minds. Because he wasn't necessarily playing better then. It was just that we were expecting him to play worse. You know, so it mm-hmm. seems better. But now that level of play does not seem good because we're expecting him to keep getting better.
Which I think is fair to expect of a young player.
Yeah,
for
sure. But like, I feel like the skill that is required for him to have in order to improve in the situation that he's in is the shooting, and that just has not been there for him, so it's hard to actually even gain any footing on, like, you know, improving or elevating his role, basically, which with just the fit there. But defensively, it's always been a nightmare. The Cavs are, again, one of the top defenses in the league this year, having just a scary front court of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Like, on the defensive end, there's zero issues having those two guys as your front court, but it's just on the offensive end that makes it a little clunky to try to get things going. And I would say, honestly, Darius Garland, he's not from this draft class, but it's a similar thing to what we're talking about here with Josh Giddey, with how I feel like Darius Garland, he's just better with the ball in his hands, you know. But the only issue is there's another guy that's also, like, you need the ball in his hands, and he's, like, their best player in Donovan Mitchell. So that hurts. I feel like Darius Garland would, like, he's had, like, a down season as well compared to the trajectory we thought he was on. But, I feel like there's just not enough opportunity for him playing alongside Donovan Mitchell. Kind of also similar to the Jalen Brunson thing, how he became what he became as soon as he left Luka. Also, as soon as Luka was out when he was with the Mavericks, he was doing that with the Mavericks in the playoffs, you know? So it's that same type of situation with Giddey, how I feel like he's the best. He's at his best when he has the ball in his hands, because he's not like a threat from behind the arc, really. You know, you're willing to give him those shots more often than not. So spotting up off the ball is just, he's a very intuitive cutter. He does that well. But other than that, like, you know, he's a really, really good passer, good decision maker with the ball in his hands. So to get most of his value, that's the way you would want to use him. But then if you're doing that, then you're taking away from your best player's value, SGA. So, yeah, it's just not a great fit.
Not
at that point.
Ideal. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't ask the Mavericks to use Luka less to make Jalen Brunson more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the level of delusion that that would be.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah, let's let SGA not cook.
yeah. So I feel like Josh Giddey is a major trade target now. But with the off-the-court stuff that's come up since Thanksgiving or whenever that was, that has made that a lot more difficult for Sam Presti and the Thunder front office to find, like, a landing spot that, you know, that would get a great return on. I'm sure that just his public image has been very soiled, you know? And him not playing near as good as he had last year does not help his case at all for a trade piece. So that's, like, probably their biggest issue outside of them not having a true big, is that logistically the guy that is, like, this is the next guy to move to improve for us, because this guy doesn't really fit. Like, he's a high value player, but he doesn't fit right now. The only issue is his value is at an all-time low right now because of all of these circumstances, which is just a tough spot.
It's like a perfect storm for it to be low, the low value spot. And I think that's a good way to put it, is like his image is just not, and I don't know if it'll ever get to back where it's like to the great value that you'd want, probably.
Yeah, because he was like a pretty universally beloved guy before all that.
The whole thing that, whatever it is, happened. Yeah. I didn't also really, and we were talking about this when we were like quickly looking at the draft class because we kind of pivoted. There's just a lot of guys in this draft that I feel are like really good contributors, but not, might not be the like...
star.
What's the word? The star. Like, there's a couple of them, obviously. But even, like, the Scotty Barnes, I don't feel great about him being your star on a championship team. But as a second option, as a really good contributor, I feel great.
Mm-hmm. How about Jalen Suggs? I'm like, he definitely wouldn't be the fifth pick in a redraft. And he's, like, one of the categories, as we were, you know, kind of planning for this segment, we were thinking about like breaking the players up into different categories. And one of them was like just players that are different than you were expecting. Like they're not a bust, but it's just different. Jalen Suggs definitely fits in that because we were expecting him to be like a Chauncey Billups was like his main comp, honestly. And now he's like a defensive special. He's like an Alex Caruso, basically. Yeah.
With like, I think he's not, I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure he's shooting right around like 40% from the 3-point line. Like, he's a small 3 and D playmaking. I guess, yeah, just Alex Caruso. I don't know why I'm trying to think about it more. But it's just way different than the guy that you thought was like, this is your offensive engine.
Yeah.
Book it.
Like a real point guard.
Yeah, as opposed to whatever weird hybrid he is now.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, I've never thought about the Caruso comparison until just now, but I feel like that's a very, very apt comparison. And yeah, he is shooting 40% right now, literally on 5 attempts a game, 5.2. I didn't realize how good he was shooting this season. That's been huge, honestly. But I knew obviously watching him just how tenacious he is on the defensive end here in a couple of years. He's only 22 years old. Like he literally might be up there with like the best defensive guards in the NBA here in a couple of years.
No, knocking on the door of like Marcus Smart a couple of years ago, Mikal Bridges, those type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of like how much energy he's willing to expend on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And then just take what comes to him on the offensive side.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that I wanted to bring up on like his whole team's on the up. So I don't know, but Franz Wagner, I feel like he's a guy that like people like to value the pick at 8, but I feel like it's done nothing but fit, like improve and like blossom. Just the role that he has, obviously he's not the driver of the show, but he's very much a very core important piece of that Magic team.
Yeah, and any given
he might
night,
not be the main guy.
Any given night, he can be the main guy, though, is the big thing.
Because I kind of forgot this top 10 like entirely. Then off night, Davion Mitchell seems like where the king. Maybe the Kings knew what they had coming in. And they were like willing to do this. Let's get a guy that's like ready, can help us now. We've got the pieces. Let's try to make something kind of happen. But he feels like 9 is pretty high for Davion Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was high at the time, just to be
honest. It just felt like, well, the fit wasn't right because they had Halliburton. But like an NBA ready guy as opposed to like a kind of sort of project made sense a little bit.
And his draft stock blew out of the world, out of the roof, or whatever the terminology I'm looking for.
From Baylor's run.
Right after they won the title. And he was a huge part of that, obviously. And that unforgettable title game, the NCAA championship game, where it was like two of the best, everybody was talking it up as like the all-time championship game. Like it's literally two of the best teams of the past 20 years in college basketball coming to face each other head on. The best offense, arguably, of all time in the NCAA, Gonzaga, and the best defense in Baylor. And Baylor just completely shut them down.
Just murdered them.
Yeah.
Drew Timmy was like, I'm a fraud. I apologize. It was like not close the whole game. Mm-hmm. Like it was
ridiculous.
Like, yeah. It was wild. Crazy. Because that was the Gonzaga team that was either undefeated going into that game or had one loss going into that game.
Yeah, something like that. And Jalen Suggs had
but
that
it was,
game
it was
winner
Jalen Suggs
UCLA, like half-court buzzer beater. And I think that was the semifinals or the quarter, one of those. Or Final Four or an Elite Eight. I'm not using the right terms. I'm not a big college basketball guy. But hopefully we get a good game like that in this this season's March Madness, or like, you know, the opposite of that, an actual good game, not a...
I hate to be the bearer of bad news for everyone. I don't think it's going to happen. I have a feeling that UConn is going to murder whoever walks into the other side.
Oh, really?
Unless it's Creighton.
Them winning my bracket. But I had them winning
last
year,
too. Unless it's Creighton.
That was an unpopular pick, honestly.
Because Creighton got a very, very good draw.
That's the championship game for me. I think in their quarter. Is
Creighton UConn?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you took UConn?
Yep.
I don't know how the neutral side will go. Because when they played at CHI in Omaha, Creighton bent them over hard. Like, 20-something point game.
Yeah.
That obviously won't happen again, but it'll be interesting.
College basketball is just hard to predict, and it's a 40-minute game where it's like, basketball is just a game of runs. One game can look completely different than another. Same teams, you know?
Yes, but this game, it was a dominant performance. It was like, UConn could do nothing. There was no runs. UConn was just helpless. It would be cool, though, for the championship's best player, like, the team that wins it all, their best player, to be from Aurora, Nebraska. That would be kind of sick.
Yeah.
That would be kind of wild.
Is he
Baylor from... Shireman?
Oh,
yeah. Baylor Shireman went to Aurora.
Wow. That's
what
he
was. Really he was their quarterback because they won 2 state championships in a row because they were Class B and then they did that stupid thing. They dropped to C1. No one else cares, but it'd be cool to have a Nebraska guy be the best player on the best team by the champ. Not, they wouldn't be the best team, I don't think, but the champs, that would be cool. But I've got a Nebraska beating him in the Final Four, actually. So.
Oh, really? In the Final Four?
I'm just kidding. It really depends on the whistle this year. Because I feel like this year, more than a lot of other years, the difference between like conferences reffing styles is going to really matter for the tournament. Because like the Big 12, it is a fist fight. They are just punching each other, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You're like, this doesn't feel like basketball. It feels like kind of like pseudo-wrestling a little bit. And then the Big Ten only calls fouls on, like, the star players. Or, like, for the star players, I should say. The ACC, you can't breathe on someone while they're shooting. And then I feel like the Big East and the Pac-12, like, properly call basketball games. Where, like, they let them play sometimes, but it's like, okay, there's, like, a line you can cross with air quotes, letting you play. And the Big 12 is not that. The Big 12 is a fist fight. I want to marry Kristaps Porzingis. Oh my goodness. Milwaukee made clawing their way back because, of course, it's Dame. And then Chris Middleton's doing what he does against the Celtics and turning into Michael Jordan. They clawed it back. And then Kristaps just had the filthiest putback dunk. And then Dame answers with a 3.
As you're speaking, basically.
Yeah.
From the looks of it.
Sorry. I'm just emotionally invested in my Celtics. 4-point lead, 1 minute left. That's not safe. That's never safe.
Not at all. But it is something to point out that even if you lose this game, you still have a 8-game lead on the second place.
And I don't know how that works because we'd still... Oh, no, this would actually give us the season series because they blew us out by 30 earlier on in the season.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
So
I was like, I think we've already won the season series, but we have not won the season series yet.
So it's 1-1 right now, you're saying?
It's 1-1 right now.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. But going back to the 2021 draft, though, like, I mean, Davion Mitchell, you know, he was a stretch for number 9, I feel like, at the time. But now looking back, definitely probably would not be a lottery pick. Not even probably, just would not be. Jonathan Kuminga is somebody that I could see going a little bit lower. I don't know. Maybe a little bit higher if things like somebody really is a, you know, a Kuminga guy. Just takes him at like 6 or something like that. But that feels
like... And this is tough because I feel like a lot of these guys I feel good about if they're in the right situation. Like, I feel pretty okay about Cam Thomas if you like don't force him to be the guy.
Yeah. So like if he's like a Lou Williams...
Yeah, like an off the bench, just an offensive, like, engine for your second team, because that's almost every second team needs that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's his destiny, to be honest, but the fact that,
he's
like,
not, the Nets are not letting him do that. He had, like, a good first 10 games of the season, and you're like, hello, Mikal Bridges' second option, how are you doing today? And they, like, haven't really given that up this whole time, it doesn't feel like.
Yeah, he's their number one option, Cam Thomas.
And he's not risen to that occasion.
Cam Thomas?
No, not to the extent that they probably need.
Well, yeah, like it's like he's not like a real number one option, but he can play that part. Like he's a pretty good impersonator of a number
offensively
one option.
Only.
Oh yeah, but, yeah. That's what. Yeah,
because I feel like in today's NBA, yeah, that and that's all he does.
He's literally Lou Williams. If he started every game, could average 27 points a game, probably. You know, at his peak.
But that's all he would do.
Yeah, exactly. Like and his team probably wouldn't be that good. Not even probably. They would be
They would be very bad.
Yeah, there'd be like what the Nets are, which is a poor, like a 10 seed. You know, 11 seed or whatever they're at, like, right now.
We're going to have to watch them play a play-in game, but we really don't want to. Or we probably won't even have to at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they're at the 11th spot, and they are 4.5 games back from the Hawks. So, yeah, they're probably going to be out of it. 4.5 games is a lot to make up here with about 14 games left in the season.
No, it is a...
That's kind of huge.
A large amount. Wild. Yeah. Also, I did not realize that the Nuggets have to play the Timberwolves like two more times still.
I know. We play them 3 times in the final 14 games. We just played them
nuts
last night, which...
Yeah, that's just...
They were missing all three centers. They Gobert, Kat, and Naz Reid were all out.
It was a close one.
Yeah. Well, it was...
It
was not close for most of the game, and we just let them get back into it for some reason.
That's how I feel about this game that I'm watching right now. Remember how I was talking about during our break? It's a 20-point lead, and I feel pretty good. And now I'm like constantly doubling back, worried.
The score at halftime in that game last night, that the Nuggets game, was 70-55.
Oh yeah, that was a comfortable lead.
Yeah, at halftime, and then
Bobby Portis has 14 points in the fourth quarter. I was trying to think how they've clawed their way back. A 14-point quarter from Bobby Portis. That's how they did it.
Which is like not unheard.
No, it's just what he's done.
Yeah.
That's
what he's there. He's there to be crazy, do hustle stuff, and then also just get really hot sometimes. Like he can get buckets.
Yeah. The Celtics are outscored 31-17 in the fourth quarter.
31-17. Yeah, that's pretty big.
And they're still winning by 4. So that's Jaylen Brown. He earned his money. Anyway, sorry. He just met Dame at the rim and won. No surprise of anybody, but I'm locked in now. This game is nothing. I'm gonna close the tab.
Is it almost over?
It's their second Celtics have the ball. Okay. They fouled for free throws,
so it's basically over.
I would have liked Jason Tatum to go to the line instead of Jaylen Brown, who's only like a 70% free throw shooter for some reason.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'll be okay.
He's another guy he's gotten worse over his time in the NBA at the free throws, at least.
Yes, at free throws exclusively. His defense has gotten worse, but that's also because he's picked up offense and it's a whole thing. Yeah.
Until this season, though. This season, he's like better again on the defensive end for some reason.
They're all locked in. All they want is that Larry O'Brien.
And I guess you have Porzingis now to be more of an offensive player. Like he can be the second option on a lot of nights. Or the first option sometimes.
There is 3.5 guys that I'm comfortable being like, you just do what you want right now.
Yeah.
The half is sometimes it's Drew Holiday, not very often, and sometimes it's Derek White. But if they're feeling it, I'm like, I trust you enough. Just cook. Yeah. Just do what you want.
Honestly. I'd say the Nuggets are kind of in there too, like that.
Where there's like enough guys that you're like, do whatever.
Yeah.
Don't impede the main. If Jason Tatum's hot, don't think you need to heat check. Let him do whatever he wants. But if Jokic is hot, you're not like, oh, yes, please, Aaron Gordon. See how hot you are right now.
That was, okay, that's funny that you bring that up, because I was just thinking about this. Aaron Gordon has this thing. They talked about it on the most recent, or one of the most recent Nuggets, DNVR Nuggets pods, but it is so true. Aaron Gordon is like one of the only guys I've ever seen that he like starts feeling the energy of like when his teammates are going on a run. Like when his teammates are hot, he's like, oh man, like I'm feeling it too. Like, and he just like will take a pull up three just because MPJ is like going off, you know? It's just funny. That's like, well, I don't know why he does that, but so that was funny that you used him as the example. But that, yeah, like if Jokic is hot, obviously give the ball to Jokic. And Jamal and MPJ are both like that as well. When they are on, like I just want, like every time down the floor, let them see if they can get the shot. Aaron Gordon is much less than that, but he definitely gets in zones at times, especially when he has a matchup where it's like, you know, a smaller, like a two or a three guard that's playing four. How a lineup, yeah, a lot
like
of lineups
sliding
work.
Down.
Yeah.
And honestly, guys that are like just constantly always small fours, Aaron Gordon is just like, I'm bigger than you.
Yeah.
I'm an actual four. Welcome to the Thunderdome. Yeah. And just kind of does what he wants.
Yeah. He's really, yeah, I really appreciate that about him. That he's just always very aggressive with those matchups. But yeah, it's not Nuggets corner right now. It is, we're talking about the 2021 NBA draft, which I feel like we've gotten most of our thoughts out on, I guess.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody in like the second round that I'm like.
Isaiah Livers, Kessler Edwards, or Delano Banton, honestly, to bring up Nebraska players. He's been doing very well since he's got to the Blazers.
He's blossomed.
Yeah.
He was with the Celtics, looked fine, went to the Blazers, has blossomed into like, I'm okay with him like being on an NBA court for like 20 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fun to watch.
Yeah. He's huge. He's just a bit like a very, very big point guard. Like,
his legs are so comically long, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
In three dribbles, he made it from free throw line to free throw line. There was a little travel in there that people were mad about, but it was still more the like, he was like just casually running and free throw line to free throw line took him three dribbles.
Yeah. Luka Garza is also in this draft class, and he was the big man for the Timberwolves the other night against the Nuggets, the guy that they had to call up from the from the bench to try to guard Jokic, which did not go
very well.
He is
also a walking bucket.
Yeah.
He just never gets the, I believe he was the Naismith Player of the Year for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Mm-hmm. He was the best player in college basketball for like 2 years, honestly. But
he did the most Iowa thing ever and wins that award and then comes back anyway. It's like the most Iowa thing that's ever happened.
Honestly,
ever.
I feel like it's the most like,
well, this is pre-NIL. This wasn't like a money thing.
Yeah, but that's the most like college basketball thing. Like, because what I was just about to say is college basketball and the NBA are more different now than they've ever been.
Uh-huh.
Like the best players in college basketball repeatedly
are
going to
suck.
Are not like real NBA. They're talented enough to play in the NBA, but they're not. They don't have the all-around skills enough to be a real contributor in the NBA.
I will counter. Zach Edey is going to be an absolute bum to not even be on a G League team in the NBA.
Wait, what?
Zach Edey, the best player in college basketball, the 7'2" Canadian that plays for Purdue, is going to suck so much nuts in the NBA that G League teams will not even want to roster him.
Really?
Nebraska basketball can bully Zach Edey for being too slow. Spoiler alert, Nebraska has maybe one NBA player on their roster. Maybe. And that's a hard maybe depending on how the world shakes out.
Are you talking about Tominaga?
No.
Oh, okay,
no.
I was going to say, I don't think he's an NBA player. But
no, it is Bryce Williams.
Okay.
Is his name. He's just a very long, good defensive, streaky shooter, kind of weird. He just has a place on a bench, I think, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Rank, we have a baby Jokic. His name's Rank Mass. He's from the Netherlands.
I didn't know that he was compared to Jokic. Really?
Oh, no. He's like our pseudo point guard kind of sometimes.
Oh, really? Okay. I've seen
him. It's not as much as Derek Walker. He's more like a baby Derek Walker than a baby Jokic. But like through transitive properties, Derek Walker was our baby Jokic that couldn't shoot threes. And then he has been then transitive baby Derek Walker. So it kind of. But Rank Mass can shoot threes.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I thought
he
could shoot. Yeah.
Very well.
It's like a stretch point forward is kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Nebraska does very well against big, lumbering ogre fives like Zach Edey, because Rank Mass is just like thick enough that he like holds his own in the defensive side. And then offensively, like, come out here, big man. Come hang out on the 3-point line. We'll run five out. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
Yeah,
that's why they.
Who's the? I can't remember where he's from. I think there was a player from Africa on the team though. He's like number 21 or something.
Chope. It's not Chope. Chope. It's
Jop or Jop.
It's. I think it's. I don't know.
I think it's Jop. At least that's what how you pronounced a player who used to play in the NBA with that same last name. It was Jop.
I think it's Matar. Chop.
That's his first name.
I think it's Matar.
He
was
from
the NBA. He was the, I just know he was the like NBA basketball university thing in Africa.
Oh, NBA Academy.
Academy, yes. He was one of, he went there and he actually had a, I don't need to talk about Nebraska basketball. Literally no one cares. But he had a sick moment in the Big Ten semifinal against Indiana. Foul trouble. So they took out Mast and Josiah Alec are like hustle five. Like if Marcus Smart was a power forward, that's just what Josiah Alec is. Just hustle, good defense. Anyway, they're both in foul trouble. They send him out. They bring out Chop. Chio. I won't call him Chop.
I think it's Chop. At least that's Chop. How I've heard it pronounced for another person with the same last name who's also from Senegal. If he is from Senegal.
He gets put on an island against this guy named Coleman Hawkins, I think his name is, for Illinois. Anyway, he starts like doing these like point guard dribble moves between his legs and then pulls up, hits a mid-range.
Okay, yeah, that's the shot that's money. Literally the shot that I was about to talk about. That's the only play I've seen from him all season.
That's probably the only time he's done that all year.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that regularly.
I just kind of looked up at the screen and saw that and I was like, "Who is that guy?" And like he was running down the floor. I was like, "He looks big. Like he's like legit 6'8". Like that's what, at least from my eye, that's how big he looks. And I'm like, That guy looks like an NBA player, whoever that is.
6'10".
6'10"? Well, like, it's probably college.
But he has a 7'2" wingspan.
Okay. I trust the wingspan more so because they actually measure that. In college, they just...
He's from Senegal.
Oh, he is? Yeah.
I've
heard that last name twice before, and both of those people
are Senegalese. Matar Diop.
Diop.
Matar Diop.
Okay.
Because Huskers.com, all-time... they have pronunciation guides. If like a player has a kind of hard name to say, they make them sit in front of a microphone and say their name. So when you pull up their player profile, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if all colleges do that, but I know that the Huskers.com does.
Uh-huh. So. But yeah, that I was just talking about. He looked like the most NBA-esque, like just his size. And he looks like he would be a very, very versatile defender. And he had a very clean... Like, you know, just the way he handled the ball there and created that shot in the mid-range and just the motion, all of it just looks so pure. And I was like, wow.
He averages 0.9 points a game.
0.9.
He's a true freshman, mm-hmm. So he just doesn't, like, I mean, he plays 5.5 minutes a game.
Okay.
That's what he averages.
So
he barely plays.
I was going to say, I've never even seen him before, which I haven't watched a ton, but I still was like, who is that guy? If he's doing that, I feel like I should have seen him before. But
I think that he is going to be the next wave because there's a couple or a singular big graduating in Josiah Alec. So, yeah. Anyway, enough Nebraska ball talk. Yeah. Also, does any other state have that cool of a name for their basketball team? Nebraska ball? Honestly, pretty slick.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. The fact that we've sucked for so long kind of blows, but it's pretty cool that we have a nice trendy name.
Honestly, yeah. It's honestly really good. I don't know of what could rival that. I'm sure there are some.
That's Nebraska ball. It doesn't change. It's just end add S-K-E-T ball at the end of Nebraska. Nebraska ball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's honestly.
It's the best part about the program. There was an NIT championship. Invalid. Nebraska ball.
Mm. That's also wild that we've won the NIT, but we've also never won a
single game. Well, because it's because Nebraska was a perennial NIT Final Four member when the tournament was 32 teams.
Oh.
So we were like the 34th. So we were like good enough to probably have a win before, but then we were a 3 seed once and then lost to the 14th seed at Xavier Musketeers, as I said earlier.
Wow.
Just choked. Choked. Danny Nee was the head coach.
Mm. Back in the 90s. It's like 93 or something like that, probably.
Yeah, 90. I think he took over in 89. And then 91, I think, is when he won the NIT. And then 92, 93, 94. We've been to 7 tournaments. This is our 8th, and we're 0-7.
Yeah, in round one. Or just pain. In general. In games in general.
Pain.
But yeah, back to the 21 draft. Herbert Jones is a big second round selection that I feel like would definitely go round one for sure. Might even sneak up into the,
this is Herb lottery. Jones, right? There's not like a Herbert and a Herb Jones.
Yeah. Herb, one guy. Herb Jones. Yeah. Herbert.
Okay.
Jones.
I'm sure that this is his real name, but it also has Bones Highland as Deshaun in this list that I'm looking at. So I wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of people call him Herbert Jones, though. I've heard that a lot.
I've always heard just Herb
yeah.
Jones.
I mean, that's the more common. Yeah, for sure. But Deshaun, I've never heard anybody say before, honestly. Everybody calls him Bones. Santi Aldama is also Quentin Grimes. You know, those are guys who definitely be taken off the board higher. Io DeSumo. So overall, like, it's kind of a middle of the road draft class. I feel like not like super insane, especially with the top end. It's like all of the guys at the top end are like not like perennial. You know,
I think there's just like 15 to 20 guys that deserve to be in the NBA, and that's about it.
Probably more than that. Maybe. Yeah,
deserve to be like are good enough to be playoff rotation pieces in the NBA.
Okay, yeah,
is that a better way to put it?
Yeah, that's
like 15-ish.
Yeah, probably that. Honestly, yeah, it's a good number to put on it. But yeah, so I guess moving on to something that I wanted to get to last episode because I told one of our TikTok followers that I would bring it up on the podcast with Jacob, so we will do that here today. So that is from Brody. He sent us his fantasy team that he's rocking with this season.
How many people are in the league?
So there are, let me see that. He had
did
mentioned
he say?
That. He did. 14
that just matters.
Man,
14 okay, man so league. It's a, you've got to dig deep. This is a deep league. 14 is deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Also, you know what I just realized? I have a fantasy basketball team this year.
You just realized that?
I totally forgot about it because I've moved and I've like switched jobs and I kind of totally spaced it because of the timing of when it started.
Yeah. Mine's weird because I have three and this is like the least I've paid attention to fantasy basketball this year and I have three teams to manage. So it's been a bit rough, but.
I bet you I'm terrible.
Oh yeah, you're the worst. Here. You're the worst in our league.
I bet. Sure. I also took Jason Tatum with the first overall pick.
So I think you have two wins.
Heck yeah.
Something like that.
Dang. I apologize. Yeah. I should double my buy-in for being a failure.
But yeah, I just sent you the screenshots, Jacob, of the team.
Okay.
And we can look at these together. So I guess for those listening, we have... let's see if I can get this up on the screen too. I'll probably just...
It has his real name
I'll just
on
put
there.
I'll just crop and put it on there.
Also, love the league name, by the way. Brody is a listener of the podcast also. League of Ordinary Gentlemen. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 15-1. This man's cooking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. And so he's got Luka Doncic, who might be the best. I haven't looked at that, but he might be the best fantasy player in the league this year.
Point-wise?
Either him or Jokic for like average fantasy points per game. Derek White, Paolo Banchero, Brandon Ingram, DeAndre Dominaten. That looks like Asar Thompson, Jonathan Kuminga.
Who's just announced today that he's out.
Oh, really?
For the season.
Oh, for the season. So what happened to him? I didn't even see this.
Ankle or knee injury?
That's too bad. Him and his brother, both of them, have been like really kicking it up lately in the final
season.
Really
nice surprises.
Yeah. But yeah, Jonathan Kuminga, Isaiah Hartenstein. Yeah, this is very good. For 14-man league, this is like my team in a 10-man
league. Jokic is third.
Probably for average, but that's behind Embiid, who doesn't play.
For total
points.
Luka is third. Sorry, Jokic is one. Luka's third.
Okay. I was going to say, there's no way Jokic isn't number one for total. Because he plays...
Jokic is total and average. The top is...
Embiid, probably.
Is Luka is actually the top average.
Really? Over Embiid?
By
does it not show
0.7 by 0.7.
Okay.
Embiid was 63.5, Luka 64.2. Jokic comes in at a 61.9. This is just standard ESPN scoring. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantasy points.
I love Derek White. I don't know. I would like to see when this man got these people in the draft.
Oh yeah, that
like,
too.
To know that like if someone like got mad and dropped somebody.
Yeah. I'm not sure, honestly. But Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, Walker Kessler, OG Anunoby, Onyeka Okongwu, and Shaedon Sharpe. Those are the guys that finish out his roster. Honestly, this looks like a legit roster in the league that I'm in. And that's a 10-man league, you know. So It's pretty wild for that to be in a 14-man league. You're definitely blessed with your roster this year, and you did a good job acquiring the talent.
No, that is rather impressive.
Uh-huh, for sure. But yeah, I guess before we get out of here, is there anything else you wanted to dive into? Are we good?
No, I'm pretty set. I apologize for being absent-minded as my Celtics were playing, and I just cared more because it was the Bucks, and I didn't want to have to deal with the next week of ESPN being, are the Celtics bad at basketball? And so now I don't have to. But they probably will talk about what an ugly way to end the game. Celtics let the Bucks get back into it, had to win it, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
55-14, the wagon rolls on.
The wagon. The Celtics wagon. Yeah, honestly, I'd be surprised if it isn't a Boston Denver finals.
The only maybes is if like Embiid comes back and is Jesus Christ reincarnated.
Which would be wild.
Wild, to say the least. And if the Timberwolves get home court somehow. Like, if the Nuggets, like, slip.
That's not happening.
I understand that.
There's no way they're getting over the Nuggets.
I forget Cat's gone. Yeah. Or forever.
Probably. Well, he might be back for playoffs, but he's done for the regular season. Yeah. So, it's kind of similar to Embiid, whether or not he'll be back in the postseason or not. That's going to be tough for the Timberwolves' chances. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to win without Cat.
I feel like that's still the scariest series for the Nuggets in the West. Catless T-Wolves is still the scariest series they could draw.
Honestly, it might be. I could see the Clippers being pretty even with that, but same thing, like we said last episode, like Clippers is just a team that the Nuggets never have any issues with, so it's hard
for
to
for whatever
imagine.
Reason. Yeah.
But, like, on paper, the Clippers should be a team that would, you know, at least be not fun to deal with. I don't want to, like, you know, undersell the Thunder. The Thunder are a really good team.
No, they're just not, like, you could not draw a worse matchup, I don't think, for the Thunder than the Denver Nuggets.
It would be tough, for sure.
Like, a team that doesn't need to go into the paint to score at all, and your whole defense is, let's just funnel everything at Chet, and then the Nuggets would be like, no, and then it just wouldn't work. I don't know. Maybe it would. I just feel like that would, it's just a matchup toughy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a sweep. I'm not saying it's anything that egregious. I just don't think that it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that could definitely be a Western Conference Finals. I think, because I do think I would bet money on the Thunder and the Nuggets being the top two seeds in whatever order at season end. And I think I doubt the Clippers catch the Wolves. Just because they're four games back right now, and the Wolves are good enough to still pull out a decent amount of wins here to, you know, end the season. And the Clippers have been coasting for a while now. I think they're pretty content with being the 4 or 5 seed.
Also, for all the haters, the Boston Celtics have had their playoff berth secured since like March 7th, and there is still not another team that has mathematically secured a playoff berth. I just want to throw that out there for all the haters.
Yeah, that is very true.
Stay mad. This is not directed at you, obviously, Logan, because you let me appreciate my greatness before it gets tarnished in the playoffs, or my happiness.
Yeah.
But for all the people that are just haters for just no reason, there's only one team with an X next to their name on the standings for playoff berth secured, and that is the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 10 games up on the Bucks right now. Going to be 12.
11. It's listed as 11 games back for the Bucks right now.
Well, yeah. Never mind. That is how that would work, right?
It'd be a half a game if they would have lost. But since
that
they
wouldn't
won,
make sense. If they would have... No, it just would have been one full game. I mean, you're saying if they would have lost and they weren't playing the Celtics. Is that what you
yeah.
mean?
It's like half games, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how it fully works. I do, like, if I really think...
Yeah, like they can't, you wouldn't be able to jump half a game if they're playing each other because they're.
Yes.
Yeah. So it would be one full game. And so it would be.
And the Nuggets.
It would be different than if the Bucks just lost and the Celtics didn't do anything because the Celtics won and the Bucks lost at the same time.
So that's
one,
why it's a full
game. That's a full game. Yeah.
But yeah, they are 8 games up on the rest of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Let me double check to make sure it's not. Oh, it's 6.5. I can't do math. Wow, the Thunder have played way less games. They've just played less games.
They've played two less than the Nuggets. How many have the Celtics played?
Am I just doing my math wrong? They've played the same number as the Nuggets, so it's just there's two less games. Because they're 6.5 ahead of the Thunder,
mm-hmm.
7 up on the Nuggets, 8 up on the T-Wolves, and then 11 up on the Bucks.
And that's going with that's 55 wins for the Celtics?
55-14 at the moment.
Yeah. Mine hasn't updated yet. But yeah, that's good. Yeah, for even the Celtics, it's like they're on pace to...
Their line was this, I think.
Honestly, I think it was. I think it was 54.5 or 53.5, 54, so somewhere in there. Yeah, they're line right now.
Yeah, they've also crushed it. Also, you know what feels great?
What?
My Heat pick. It looked like I was so wrong, and then they plummeted, and now they're just 500. So, like, the Heat are going to come in super close to what their line was, probably.
Yeah, what was their line again? 40.
It was like mid 40, something like that. And they're at 38.
They're at 38 wins right now?
With 15 to go.
Okay. They're that makes them well above 500 though, right?
They were mid 40s, weren't they? Or did they just need to, I'm saying they were like way above 500 or way above what they needed for their line. They plummeted and now they're winning games at a 500 pace. I worded that poorly. Now they're like going like they've won 5 out of their last 10.
Mm.
That's what I meant by 500.
Oh, okay.
They're trading recently. Wins and losses.
Yeah. All right. So the Miami Heat, 46.5. Oh, that is pretty high. 46.5. It's higher than I remember. But they're at 38 right now, which makes their win percentage, because yours is updated. Mine's not. I have them at 37 wins. So 38 divided by... so 38
I can just tell you that.
Plus 31. Yeah, what's the percentage that has on there?
551.
Sorry. Okay. So 82 times 0.551. So somehow they're under. That doesn't make any sense. There's 6 games up above 500 right now. But there would be only 4 at the end of the season. That doesn't make any sense, does it? There are actually 7 games up on 500. They're 38-31. Is that not their record?
It is.
So why would they be on pace to win 45 games?
Because they're...
Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm not subtracting the losses when I'm thinking of... I'm thinking of 45 is only 4 wins above 41.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, it would be...
Now you're tracking. I didn't know how to explain it and break it down because I was kind of confused where you were at,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm tracking.
Yeah, there would still be 8 games above 500. If they were at 45 wins. So it would be actually one more game above 500 than they are right now. Yeah. But that would be below though their line. So that they'd be missing, which is what you predicted.
I think it was my lock.
Yeah, you locked it. For sure. Absolutely.
I did not predict that Jaime Jaquez. We should probably do an outro because now we're just gonna meander and talk and
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Please check out the shorts, do all that stuff. Follow us on all the platforms you can so you don't lose us.
Miss out.
If TikTok is, you know, goes bye-bye. Rate the show on Spotify, please. Whatever you think it should be rated. You are the arbiter. Thank you for listening. Please come back next episode. Stay happy. Stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace.